now for something completely different, to quote the Monty Pythons. We'll talk about the Vikings, and I'm quite sure you heard of them. In what concerns the terminology, nothing challenging so far. Places that you've quite certainly heard about: Byzantine Empire, the Kingdom of the Franks, yeah, the Shetlands and the Orkneys, but you know them. Eric the Red. But that's pretty much it, really. Eric the Red is obviously a Viking. And I'm going to start... Oh, that's all on tape, isn't it? Nice. I'm going to start now, if you're ready. Ladies and gentlemen, after the fall of the Roman Empire, what followed in Western Europe was an era of darkness. It was a time when the local populations were subjected to constant invasions by migratory peoples. So when the first medieval states began to gain contour towards the end of the first Christian millennium, we might say that Western Europe was tentatively breathing a collective sigh of relief. It looked like the bad times were gradually becoming a thing of the past, and good times were there to come. But no sooner had they done that than the savage attacks of the Vikings from the north began in earnest. Now, the Vikings were coming from the Scandinavian peninsula and from what's today Denmark, and they were fundamentally, or rather at home, farmers and merchants. They had this warrior culture that valued bravery and honor above all else, and they had profound respect for family values and for prowess in combat. Now, all this code of honor didn't obviously prevent them from stealing everything they could. That did not go against their doctrine or their sense of honor. But why did the Vikings begin their massive invasions of the surrounding and even of more remote areas? There are various theories that try to explain this Viking migration. Some talk about the fact that the Vikings came into contact with the representative of the Christian civilization, chiefly Christian merchants. And because the merchants actually cheated the Vikings, they sought to revenge their honor and fight for their gods and whatnot. So they came seeking retribution. But this isn't really a particularly solid theory. Much more plausible is the theory whereby the emergence of the first centralized states on the territory inhabited by the Vikings were not seen in highly favorable terms by these fiercely independent warriors resentful of authority. So rather than submit to a king or another, they decided to take to the high seas and pretty much conquer the world, or at least steal what they could from it. Now, a much more fascinating hypothesis is of disturbing relevance today, I might say. Because according to some experts, the Viking migrations were first and foremost related to climate change. And it seems that between 800 AD and 1200 AD, Europe and the world in general experienced a period of global warming, with average annual temperatures far higher than anything we're afraid of today. The weather in Europe was warmer in those days than the worst predictions climatologists are making for the current global warming. And yet the world didn't come to an end, but that's a different story. Now, what happened was that with temperatures rising, the previously frozen lands became open for cultivation. There was a surplus of food in the Viking territories, and thus the population grew and grew and grew. But soon population growth couldn't keep up with the supply of food, and it was practically overpopulation that drove the Vikings away from their homes. Now, their targets were numerous, and they were scattered all over the map. We know that they began raiding the coasts of England, Scotland, and Ireland sometime in the late 8th century AD. And the Viking raids, as far as England is concerned, lasted until 1066, the year of the Norman conquest. The great ships of the Vikings were so magnificently built and designed that they could actually cross the ocean, but they could also navigate the rivers. And it was via the rivers that the Vikings reached the territory of present-day Russia. This is a less known fact, but the founders of the first Russian states were, in fact, Vikings. The very name, Rus, was the local name given to the Viking predators first, masters later. Now, this theory is accepted by pretty much all historians nowadays, except for the Russian historians, who are still fiercely nationalistic. But it's almost a dead certainty that the first Russians were actually Vikings. The Vikings didn't stop in Russia. They went as far south as Constantinople, and for a long time, the elite guard protecting the Byzantine emperors consisted of Viking warriors. On the other side of Europe, the kingdom of the Franks, even under Charlemagne, was subjected to successive raids by the Vikings. The Vikings at one point besieged Paris and even seized a huge chunk of Frankish territory, namely Normandy. But what's really amazing is, dear friends, the Viking journey to the west. Because the Vikings gradually moved and colonized places such as Iceland or the Shetlands and the Orkneys off the coast of Scotland nowadays. But it was from Iceland that a Viking named Eric the Red sailed westwards towards Greenland. Now, some say that Greenland was just as green as Eric himself was red. But in point of fact, there might be some truth behind it. Now, obviously, as a colonizer, Eric was very much interested in giving a very nice name to the territory he discovered. Greenland, the land of plenty, where crops can grow. So all ye Vikings come and settle here. There might have been a propagandistic agenda. But on second thought, yes, now Greenland is pretty much a frozen wasteland. But if we think of the higher average temperatures in those days, it's possible that at least in the southern part of Greenland, agriculture was indeed possible. And the absolutely magnificent thing is that the Vikings did not stop in Greenland. And if in Europe we tend to believe that Columbus discovered America, in point of fact, the Vikings were there 500 years before Columbus. It was the son of Eric the Red, who around the year 1000 AD sailed and established colonies in what's today Canada and even the northern part of the United States, Massachusetts and Maine. And it is there that we still find today the ruins of old Viking settlements. Obviously, those colonies did not survive. But the Vikings were indeed the first Europeans to set foot on the North American continent. So were they really the vicious, cruel barbarians that Hollywood movies tend to present us with? Well, not necessarily. The technology of the Vikings was incredibly advanced for that time. Not only could they build incredibly efficient ships, but they could also draw very accurate maps. Actually, some Viking maps are said to be only 2% less accurate than contemporary maps. And that is fascinating. Also in Sweden, some optical lenses were found, and this might be evidence that the Vikings were using some sort of telescopes to study the heavens, probably for navigation purposes. Well, barbarians or not, one thing is certain. The history of Europe as we know it today would not have been the same without the Vikings. Because two major European powers, like Britain and France, saw their destinies shaped by the early influence of the Viking invasions. Thank you.